Rookie Big Board Podcast Network. I'm your host, Anthony Carenti, joined by my co-host, Eric Adams. Ryan is moving. His office is non-existent. His dog ate his homework. He can't be here today, so we're just a dynamic duo. Eric, how are you doing?
I'm good. I feel for Ryan. He told us he just wants to be closer to the ocean. So it is what it is. Moving can be difficult, though. Moving can be difficult, and you want to know how much moving costs. Way more than $5.
Way more than Ryan would be so proud of you right now.
There you go, Ryan. That's for you.
He really would. Ryan is moving, but we have plenty to talk about. We're not going to talk so much, you know, the specific players that are going to get drafted this year, but we wanted to look at maybe what some fits look like for the quarterbacks, the wide receivers, the tight ends, what it would mean for any of these rookies if they land on specific teams, what those team situations look like. We're going to dive into a ton of stuff. Before we get into it all, like Eric said, movers cost way more than $5 a month. Rookie draft season is here. The NFL draft's right around the corner. You got to go to patreon.com/rookiebigboard. You'd be crazy not to. Get on in there. Chop it up in the Discord. Get help in your rookie drafts when those start. And just hang out during the NFL draft. We'll be talking in there, all types of stuff. And it's always a good time. So patreon.com/rookiebigboard. $5 a month. Save 15% with an annual subscription. And your savings, put them towards the movers when you move closer to the ocean. Me, Ryan's neighbor.
There you go.
All right. So let's start with the quarterbacks. Bunch of teams need quarterbacks. Bunch of quarterbacks in this draft.
Yes.
How do we feel? Let's start at the top. Chicago Bears.
Start the obvious.
Yeah. Chicago Bears.
Caleb, you are a Chicago Bear.
Caleb Williams, you are a Chicago Bears. Probably already been fitted, right, for the for the jersey.
It's already signed in the rookie cards. I like the fit. I know everyone's just, like, obviously in Fantasyland, everyone's just going to point to, oh, well, who is he throwing to? He's going to a great core.
Yeah.
Like, Justin Fields is jealous of this. He's throwing to DJ Moore, Cole Kmet. They traded for Keenan Allen. Got a good stable of running backs. This is tentatively a good landing spot for Caleb Williams, to the point where he's going to be the 101 for quarterback. I don't know if you'd like, even at Superflex, not Superflex. He's the first rookie quarterback off the board, and he should be. The only hesitant thing I'm half here, it's the Bears still, and sometimes the Bears just learn how to do Bears things, and it's the only thing that I'm a little weary about. Luckily, the Bears were pretty good going down the stretch last year, so this isn't a true number one overall pick team. I think Caleb will be fine. I think it's a good landing spot for him. He should be the easy front runner for rookie of the year, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's nice to drop him into that core, like, especially after them, you know, trading for Keenan Allen. Allen and DJ Moore is a fun duo. Like, that's, you know, good luck. Good luck keeping up with those two. And Cole Kmet and DeAndre Swift. And, you know, that's still with, you know, Khalil Herbert and Roshan still in the backfield too. Like, there's weapons there. That is for certain. So it's, you know, reassuring that Caleb shouldn't have to, in theory, come in and play hero ball, you know, every down, every snap. Obviously, you want some of the upside, but I think that there's a good enough supporting cast in Chicago right now that should help kind of elevate him without him having to do it all on his own early in his career.
Little more O-line help, Chicago. That's it.
Yeah.
Just get more O-line help.
That would be my one thing, too. I would agree with that.
Like, Fields was still getting killed last year. I would like to see a little more.
And I know, you know, I'm not saying you want to take this all the way out of his game or anything. I know, you know, Caleb can run around and create and extend the play and all that stuff. I just think that as fun as all those highlights are, like, that's not really
not what you should be asking.
Yeah,
him to do.
That's not what I want to base, the hope for his success around. Just doesn't play at the same consistency level at the NFL that it did at USC. It's really cool. Don't get me wrong. The highlights are awesome. But I just think if we're expecting him to do that on a regular basis, it becomes problematic.
Asking for trouble.
Yeah. A little more O-line help would be reassuring to help solidify things there for him. But otherwise, I think it's a, like, kind of as good of a situation as you could hope for a team drafting first overall. Yeah, to put your quarterback
Absolutely.
Well, how about the Washington Commanders? We feel less good, same good, more good?
Way less good. This is the area that I would be really worried about. It seems right now, April 2nd, it sounds like Jaden Daniels is going to be the number two overall pick. But whether or not it is Jaden Daniels or Drake May, this guy's going to start. Whoever they take will start week one. They have a terrible O-line. It is still awful. They have, you know, a revamped defense, but it's, I wouldn't necessarily say it's, I don't know, it's middle of the pack. The guys he's throwing to, I mean, you got McLaurin, you have Dotson, you got Brian Robinson Jr., you got Eckler. Like, it's not a terrible supporting cast, but it's just what specifically the O-line, we talked about it, the field is what I don't love.
Yeah.
This is a situation where Drake May or Jaden Daniels is going to have to come in and be the hero. They're going to have to be the savior. I think Jaden's a little bit more suited to do that right away, but even so, that's not good for a quarterback. For a guy coming out of the draft, just out of college, that's never really a good thing to do. Some of these guys are built different, and they'll handle it with aplomb, and they will make it through the season, and they will look like, oh, okay, this is a franchise guy. And I know there's some people saying, oh, well, if you're a franchise guy, it shouldn't matter. It does matter. Josh Allen didn't look like franchise guy his first 2 years. Yeah. These guys take time, you know? Pat Mahomes sat. There is cases where the guy needs to sit or he needs to go through growing pains. And I think the quarterback that ends up here goes through the growing pains. I think this is the problematic landing spot for me. You know, I thought I had a little bit more of hope going into free agency because they had so much money and I really liked the GM hire. They didn't really do a lot to quell my fears here. This is the spot for me. Whoever the quarterback is that lands here, this is the one I would probably avoid.
Yeah, I think it's the outside of the Bears. It's definitely the one where it feels most like, okay, whoever they're taking is playing. Right, because it doesn't feel like they have a really compelling argument otherwise. Like they'll kind of get
Marcus Mariota's not hopping on that field.
Yeah, right, exactly. Like had they, you know, retained Jacoby Brissett, like, you know, I could have seen. Okay,
then you could see.
Yeah, put Brissett out there, hold the fort while the rookie, you know, learns and develops and acclimates. But right now, it feels like whoever gets picked there is going to get thrown in. And that, hey, for fantasy purposes, you almost hope it's Jaden Daniels then, right? At least he'll run around and, you know, create on his own. But it's definitely scary. It's definitely scary.
It's the scariest landing spot, maybe outside of the Giants. That's, if you like one of these quarterbacks and they land there, it's going to be like, okay, that's.
And the weapons are kind of weird. Right. Like, I like Terry. Like, you know, Terry's a proven, accomplished receiver, but like,
are we Dotson really? Hasn't arrived yet. I was we just talking about say, Dotson as if he has arrived. He has 2 500-yard seasons.
Yeah, I was just gonna say
he's not there yet.
Are we sure what Jahan Dotson is at this point? Like, I know we all liked him coming out of Penn State, but I don't think we're really, you know, convinced one way or the other there. So, it's definitely a little less. It's less safe feeling than Caleb fitting in Chicago, that's for
in
sure.
Chicago.
All right, New England. We hate the landing spot for all of them, right?
Yeah, I mean, I have no doubt in my mind everyone in fantasy football is probably like, oh, I despise the person that's going to land in New England. I got news for you people. New England's outside of Chicago and Minnesota, probably the best landing spot for these quarterbacks. New England clearly has a plan. They're going to sit this guy down. The plan is always, apparently since day one, has been to get a $8 to $10 million quarterback, which is Jacoby Brissett, bring him in, you know, and then draft whoever is there with Drake and Jaden at 3, and then have that guy sit. That's why I think, you know, if Jaden goes Two, I think this is a great landing spot for Drake May. I don't necessarily think Drake May is ready to go day one. I think Drake May would benefit from sitting for a year. Yeah, I think it would really help him. That's why I like New England. New England is very realistic with what they're doing right now. You know, they re-signed Michael Wenu. He'll throw him at right tackle. They have basically three spots on the O-line that are settled. They got to wait for Cole Strange to come back, but it's really just left guard and left tackle. That's the question marks. I know people like to point to the wide receivers, but it's not like they have bad wide receivers. They just need a guy that's a stud. That's what you take the year off from. So it's an environment in New England where they will not have to force this guy to go right away. That's why I think it's a good landing spot. They can sit him down. They can make him learn the offense. They could have him get comfortable. And then they can unleash him in year two. I know that's not what fantasy people want to hear because they're like, well, I like Drake May. I like Jaden Daniels, and I would like to start him right away. People are impatient. It'll be better in the long run if they don't play him. And I think that's the plan right now. That's what they've come out and said is the plan. So I like New England as a landing spot. I know people say I'm biased, but that's a good plan. Now, listen, with all these plans, everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Nobody knows what happens. Like, Jacoby Brissett could get hurt. Who knows? Yeah. Drake May could just really be that dude. And they're like, well, I'll throw that plan out the window. But right now, I can only believe what I hear. And they want the guy to sit. And I really do believe Jacoby Brissett, as long as he's healthy, he's going to be the starter in week one.
Yeah.
That doesn't make New England sexy at all. But it's the plan right now. So that'll help, I think, in the long run, especially if Drake May is the pick.
It makes Jacoby Brissett like a cheap buy target for me in Superflex, honestly.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, honestly, I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all.
Like, he's an NFL caliber quarterback. Like, it's not like the crazy upside quarterback pick that's going to win you your league, but you could do a lot worse for your, you know, QB3 in a Superflex league that can play in a pinch in bye weeks or if somebody gets hurt.
Yeah,
I'll be trying to stash some Jacoby Brissett where I can this year for sure. And I think the Pats are a good landing spot because I think they will be patient. Kind of the opposite of the Commanders fit.
Mm-hmm. I will always opt for sitting these young kids. I will never be one of those people that's like, throw him out there right away. I don't care. He's ready. Don't do that. If you have the opportunity to have him sit and be patient, the fan base be damned. Sit him. And let him learn, and he'll be much better off for it.
All right, so those three, Chicago, Washington, New England, 1, 2, 3, feels like they're all taking quarterbacks. Then, then the draft starts, and the Vikings, the Giants, the Raiders, the Broncos. It's the Vikings are the best of the bunch, right? Like,
easy, yeah, very easily.
Yeah, like, of those four, you hope that the Vikings come up for whoever's left.
Yep.
Presumably J.J. McCarthy in this scenario, the way we've talked about it. If it's not the Vikings, all right, let's real quick say, let's do this. Of those four teams, Vikings, Giants, Raiders, Broncos, assume that we're talking specifically about J.J. McCarthy. What's the order of teams? Like, what's the preference order there? Like, Vikings and then who?
Vikings, Raiders, Giants, and then Broncos. I think the Broncos are a dead duck. I have no faith in anything happening in Denver right now. The Giants at least have Brian Daboll. That I will give them. That will be nice. The Raiders at least have Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers and a head coach that wants to rip your throat out. So I kind of like that.
Yeah.
And then the Vikings obviously have pretty much everything. They have bookend tackles. They got Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson, Aaron Jones, you know, a coach that can scheme up plays. It's a perfect landing spot, pretty much.
Yeah. If the Vikings come up for J.J. McCarthy, it's definitely the best I would feel about J.J. McCarthy. Because I think that, like we said about the Pats, and I think the Vikings could afford to start Sam Darnold. Like, I don't think Sam Darnold would necessarily start, you know, all of 2024. But, like, yeah, I think you could start Darnold for 6 weeks if you had to, 6-7 weeks, while you feel out how ready McCarthy is to get in there. Because, you know, Darnold's not going to be a world beater, but I don't think anybody's really going to expect the Vikings to, you know, contend this year. Mm-hmm. Not saying that they're super far away, because I agree, like, they have tons of pieces. But Darnold could do enough to keep it afloat until you're ready to drop McCarthy in there when you feel real confident about it. And I think McCarthy needs that. I don't want to see J.J. McCarthy in a spot where we're throwing him out there day one and asking him to do everything he didn't have to do at Michigan.
Yep, I agree.
That's kind of nerve-wracking to me. And the, like, I don't know, three of those guys are going to get left holding the bag, right? Like, one of them is going to get McCarthy, and I don't know, the rest are going to have to figure it out. Maybe they're taking one of the other guys late, or taking one of the other guys in round two, or trading up from round two into end of round one to get the 50-year option. But the Vikings definitely feel like the best of that bunch for sure.
Yep, they're well positioned. And McCarthy, he's off the board by six. He's not falling past six. It'll either be the Vikings at four or five, or the Giants at six, or one of the other teams coming up to four or five.
Yeah,
if he's not lasting past the Giants.
If he makes it to the Giants, they're taking him.
I think they would take
him. I definitely agree with that. I just think that, you know, the Vikings, because what do the Vikings have? 11 and 23, right?
Yeah.
11 and 23 is compelling to a team like the Cardinals. And we can use this as a good pivot to start talking about wide receivers and tight ends, because the Cardinals are at four as we transition to pass catchers. I think the Cardinals, for fantasy, it's a great spot for a wide receiver.
Yes, it is.
Somebody's going to get 1 billion targets. You know?
like literally. All due respect to Michael Wilson and Greg Dortch and whatever Chris Moore is.
Like, what? If Marvin Harrison Jr. does go at four, they don't trade out. He's getting every single target he can handle from Kyler Murray. Like,
I don't know what the target record is.
He might break it.
Rookies, but he will break it. It will be broken by him.
He legitimately could see like 160 targets or something in year one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If he goes four. But, like, the point remains. Even if they trade out, like say they trade out with the Vikings and get 11, 23, and you know,
and next, then they still next have year's like pick. 27th or something too.
Yeah. So say they go back to 11 and take, I don't think like Odunze makes it there, but like Brian Thomas.
Brian Thomas would be the next one. Yeah.
Brian Thomas at 11. Okay. Same kind of thing, right? Like I'm not to say Brian Thomas Jr. is Marv, but he'd still be walking into a ton of volume, big size speed threat. Like,
yeah, say Rome goes nine to Chicago and Brian Thomas ends up in Arizona. I think that puts Thomas over Rome.
Yeah.
You know,
just
say,
in terms of opportunity, like,
yeah,
I would agree.
I think, say, Neighbors goes to the Giants. Thomas goes to Arizona. I think there are going to be some people talking themselves into Brian Thomas over Malik Neighbors. Would I do it? No, but it's the opportunity and the volume that he's going to get, you know, and the fact that he's not having Daniel Jones throw the ball to him.
Yeah. A wide receiver will land in Arizona at some point in this draft.
Oh, yeah.
And whichever wide receiver it is getting an uptick in value because they are going to be
peppered,
penciled in for just a literal ton of work, like as much as they can handle. So that's exciting.
Absolutely.
All right, the Chargers.
The other landing spot that would make people very excited.
They sure need a wide receiver now.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Right? Keenan Allen traded. Mike Williams cut. Does that put Josh Palmer at the top of the depth chart? Because, I mean, come on, it's not Quentin Johnston. It's not.
Is indeed Josh Palmer. They literally only have four wide receivers on the depth chart.
But you can't see them taking one at five, can you?
I really can't. I'd be surprised.
Me too.
Like, I'm at the point where I'm like, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen now. Like,
which feels kind of crazy.
Like, wild to me. Wild.
But I think it's partly like the Harbaugh effect, right?
Yeah.
Like, because I don't, like, they just feel like another trade out team.
They feel like a trade out team because they don't need a left tackle. They have Rashawn Slater, who's one of the best in the league. They don't need Joe Alt. They don't need Olufoshanu. They don't need whoever the next guy would be at left tackle. Like, they need a right tackle.
Yeah.
Which otherwise, is why you move back.
Yeah. And otherwise, it would, I would agree, it would feel like the Alt spot. But
yep.
if they don't need him, and it seems like a, yeah, you could slide back, get a right tackle, and not have to, you know, burn the fifth pick.
Specifically, move back to 10. Where
yes.
the Jets are.
Yes. Yes. And this, all right, so let's talk that hypothetical, right? Like, say the Cardinals have moved out to the Vikings. The Vikings have come up for J.J. McCarthy, right?
Yep.
The Jets call the Chargers and offer 10 and whatever else. Picks don't matter to them. They're in YOLO mode. Nothing matters. They offer whatever it takes to get the deal done. Say they come up for Marvin Harrison Jr., okay? Mm-hmm. So now we're walking into this year with a presumably healthy Rodgers throwing to Garrett Wilson, Marvin Harrison Jr., and Mike Williams. Okay.
Yes.
That makes my fan brain happy. Like, that sounds super fun.
But fantasy.
But fantasy, like, I don't want to say, like, it would stink, like, if, you know, for fantasy if Marvin Harrison Jr. went there. But I just wonder what the actual volume would be or how it would be divided up amongst them. You know what I mean? In the short term. In the long term, whatever. Great. Like, Marv and Garrett Wilson could be an awesome duo for a long
time. Whatever quarterback lands there next, yeah.
But I do wonder in the short term if it sort of caps each other's value.
It would.
Yeah.
It would. It would, like, you know, obviously if Marv landed with Arizona, he gets like 160 plus targets.
Yeah.
If he lands with the Jets, it probably looks more like 100 to 120.
Yeah.
Which is still fine.
It's fine.
Still a very fine amount of targets. But, you know, that might make him go from like a wide receiver, a top like five wide receiver finish on the year, to he might actually drop to like top 12 now. Which, again, splitting hairs. But like, just be weary. Like, obviously, I think everyone should know. It's like, if he goes to the Jets, there's another alpha there. There is a guy who will eat.
Yeah.
Luckily, and we're not even including Breece Hall, too. He'll get his catches.
Yeah.
Luckily, Aaron Rodgers got an arm he can throw. So that's...
To be clear, though, should this happen, I will be on this very podcast feed just spouting the most preposterous things anybody's ever heard. So come back and tune in for that if it happens, because boy, we're gonna make some claims. And then tune back in September when it all goes hilariously wrong. So a tale as old as time.
We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
But like, even for Garrett Wilson, and I love Garrett Wilson more than most. He's a tremendous player. Garrett Wilson got 147 targets as a rookie, had 168 targets last year.
Yep.
That doesn't happen with Marvin Town.
No, they'll probably drop at least 30.
Yeah. So, and it would be great. It would be a super fun duo. Mike Williams, whatever. I think the Jets are telling you everything you want to hear or everything you need to know right now by, like, they're very clearly, like, excited about the upside of Mike Williams, but they also are very aware that he is coming off of a torn ACL and might not be.
I don't love that they said, oh yeah, he's not going to be ready for training camp. Like, really? It's April. That's not till 3 months. You're just certain he's not going to be ready for training camp?
I do think it kind of, I don't want to say like tips their hand, but it does give us a little bit of like a, it sounds like they know they still want another pass catcher. Like,
yes.
Yeah. So I do think whether it's Marv, whether they can't get up to five, and, you know, whether they're trying to just leap Chicago, you know, get into the top eight so that they can get one of Marv, Neighbors, or Odunze, that wouldn't shock me. Or, and like, not to make it a, you know, Jets podcast, but they sit at 10 and take Bowers if he's there.
That, they could even take Thomas. Like, if they're, or the Thomas, three are gone, and Thomas is there, I wouldn't hate it. I would not hate that at all. That would be a nice compliment to Garrett Wilson.
I think that they are, and like, the O-line, you know, need is always real with them, but they feel like, as the offseason progresses and the level of aggressive, you know, that they're starting to show with, you know, sign Tyron Smith, sign Mike Williams, trade for Hassan Reddick, like, all right, they're trying to do the thing this year, right? So, like,
yeah,
as great and necessary as O-line depth is, you want to go get something that you can count on is going to help you right away. So
it's an arms race.
Yeah.
We're trying to win.
Yeah, exactly. What about the Giants? We said Malik Nabers to the Giants before. I hope for the Giants' sake that they end up with Malik Nabers. They really should. I really do.
They really should.
I want them to get Malik Nabers.
Yeah. I'll have no problems with Malik Nabers in New York. I don't care how weird it gets in New York beyond this year. Malik Nabers to me is landing spot proof. I do not care. That guy is a very good football player, so he will go wherever he goes, and he will play extremely well. Not to mention, if he goes to the Giants, like we said with Marv, Malik Nabers should probably be getting like 160 targets if he's in New York.
Yeah.
So, whether or not, you know, Daniel Jones can withstand 160 targets, we'll find out. But
there's nobody also, else real, like, really competing for legitimate target share there. Like, Wandale's there, but nobody that is like a premier guy.
No. Yeah, Wandale, Hyatt, and Mr. I don't know if I'm retiring yet at tight end over there, Darren Waller.
Yeah,
how do you not know yet, dude? Like, it's like April 2nd. You got to figure it out, dude. Mini camps are starting.
Yeah, like, sounds like you're retiring to me.
Yeah, that's what I always say. I'm like, if you're still thinking about retiring, then you're retired. Another thing, a quick touch on the Giants. Even if they don't get JJ at 6, you better end up with one of Penix, Nix, or Rattler. You better get one of those guys.
Yeah.
Because you're, like, you said the Jets, like, YOLO year. This better be a YOLO year for the Giants, too. You better show something or else everyone's getting fired.
Yeah.
So do not rely on Daniel Jones and Drew Lock. If you miss out on J.J. McCarthy, you better go get one of those other guys. So
could be kind of fun.
And that will help Nabers in itself.
Take Nabers at 6, trade back up into the end of round one for Penix.
Yeah. I mean, where's their pick? They pick. They have pick 47 from Seattle. So yeah, they would probably have to trade up. I mean, it's plausible that one of them falls to them, but like, yeah, you got the Raiders at 44. You have who else we got? Actually, it's really just the Raiders. Raiders are the only team that needs the quarterback there. So it's possible. I mean, you got New Orleans there, too. I could see New Orleans taking a quarterback.
Yeah.
But still, yeah. Like, if I'm the Giants, I'm going out and I'm trying to secure one of those guys if I can't get McCarthy. Like, you can't rely on Daniel Jones and Drew Lock. That's a recipe for failure.
Yeah, they need to add somebody else at some point there.
Interesting one, the Bears.
Yeah.
You brought up how, like, oh, well, if Marv goes to the Jets, that might take some, you know, eat into some other guys. Say Rome goes to the Bears at 9. I don't feel that great about that.
Yeah, like, I love for, it for real. Caleb,
great.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and real football, great.
Yeah.
For fantasy, it's like, oh, dear God.
Yeah, I love it for them building out that roster and putting the best, like, supporting cast there.
Yeah.
And you know, how long will Keenan Allen stay Keenan Allen for? But yeah, definitely caps the immediate upside of Rome, like, for sure. Yep. Absolutely. Yep. And I don't know, like, they feel like I could see them doing it. Like, if Rome is there, yeah, like, I don't know, if I had to say today, I think he would be the pick at 9.
Probably. Like, depends how much they love the offensive line prospects and the defensive guys. Like, they could be the team that has, like, the opportunity to select the first defensive player.
The other thing is, like, talking about select the first defensive player, I feel like the Falcons could be that team to take the first defensive player. But I could also see them just, hey, we want Darnell Mooney to be our wide receiver 3. Let's take whoever, Odunze or Brian Thomas, put him with Drake London, with Kyle Pitts. Like,
yeah, we touched on that in the mock. I could see it. I could see them getting crazy over there in Atlanta, if possible. Denver. The one spot where everyone would be like, wow, look at all those targets. This is going to be great. Everyone's going to chase the target perception thing. That would be a terrible landing spot.
All targets are not created equal. Those 160 targets we said Marv could get from Kyler are different than like the 200 targets that whatever wide receiver. I was just going to say. Those Jarrett Stidham targets are less valuable at a very serious clip.
And like, again, does Denver even have a second round? Denver doesn't even have a second round pick. So Denver likely should trade back. Yeah. They should not trade up. They should probably trade back.
I feel like they're not going to, though. They're going to do something preposterous.
They really might do something preposterous. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. That is the team to watch there. That's just a terrible landing spot, though. Like, that's the team where, and you know they're taking a wide receiver, too. Like, they have Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick, and that's kind of it. So it's
Marvin Mims.
Oh, and Marvin Mims. And Marvin. I keep forgetting about poor little Marvin Mims. I blame Ryan for that every time. Yeah. Every time he comes up, I'm blaming Ryan.
Yeah. It's his fault. But Ryan
just
too busy thinking about the ocean.
Too busy thinking about the ocean.
You think there's any chance the Titans still go wide receiver?
They shouldn't. But like,
but there's always a but
there's always a chance.
They shouldn't have traded AJ Brown.
Exactly. Yeah. They shouldn't have signed 29-year-old Calvin Ridley for $23 million. You know, I mean, I think it would be a stunner if they didn't take Joe Hall, but like, I don't feel great about their wide receiver room. You got a young quarterback there. It's like, well, are we really going to roll with 29-year-old Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins? So, like, are we really going to do that? So, I don't know. Maybe, you know, Bowers for the Titans. I don't know. Is there
Their
tight end?
Could be.
Don't the people like the tight end there?
Chig Okonkwo. Yeah.
Yep. I know people like him.
People do like Chig. You're going to upset the Chig truthers. But they got to be careful. They could end up in the same, you know, let Irv swerve crowd. All right. Don't get married to these tight ends that we're always waiting to break out.
Yeah. But I think that pretty much covers all of it. Long story short, hell of a wide receiver draft. Hell of a tight. Well, it's a good tight end draft. I'll say that there are some tight ends even in the late rounds where I'm like, this is an interesting player here. And then obviously the quarterbacks are just. This is going to be a big. This draft will be defined by the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So
it's probably not your year to get a real stud running back out of the mix. But I will say, some NFL teams are going to find some good players day two, day three. Players will emerge, valuable for fantasy. I don't know. The kind of fun thing about this running back class that lacks, to me, like a clear top, like consensus guy is like, it feels like everybody is kind of afforded an opportunity to like get your guy at like a better price, right? Like, most of these guys won't go in round one of super flex drafts. They start going in round two. Everybody will kind of like somebody different. So it's like nobody's going to have to pay that premium they would normally. Nobody's going to have to pay what they would have had to pay if Travion Henderson declared, right? Like, I think he would have ran away with being RB1 for a lot of people. So that's kind of interesting. But, yeah, the wide receiver class, and there's so many teams that it's just plausible could look to add a wide receiver. And – that's not even accounting for like the out of nowhere teams that exist every year where it's like, oh, we weren't
having them on the radar. Yeah. There they are.
It happens every year.
I'm of the thinking that I don't care who you got at wide receiver. You should probably take a wide receiver every year. Same with corner. Oh, yeah. Take one wide receiver and one corner and one tackle every single year.
Yeah.
Just do it. You'll thank me later.
Yeah. Especially as like, in a class like this, where just like the sheer depth of it will push like good players into day three, probably. Yep. I'd be swinging on those guys too.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that is going to do it. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dynasty Big Board. If you haven't already, do us a favor, leave a 5-star review on whichever podcast app you're using. Make sure you're subscribed. We should all be back next week. Hopefully we'll do some rookie my guys if Ryan's got his stuff moved into his beach house. And make sure you subscribe so you don't miss that or any of the rookie big board action. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Later, taters.